Give me a W.
W.
Give me a G.
G.
Give me a B.
B.
Give me a B.
B.
Give me a... No, wait. That's basically WGBB Freeport. That's
Isn't it time for Days Gone By?
Yeah, right now.
You got David Lefkowitz is here. He's a Long Island arts guy. He's got his own radio show.
There goes the neighborhood.
Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! I shoot flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, whirling around at night.
Well, there goes the neighborhood, everybody. Welcome, welcome, everyone, on this Sunday night, July 20th, 2008, to the 283rd episode of Dave's Gone By. So happy to be here, lo, these many hundred episodes later since we started this show back in 2002. It's a mix of comedy and talk radio and interviews and extra views and everything else we can kind of throw in week after week, try to keep it interesting for you and for me, because I'm Dave Lefkowitz, happy to be here with you. And I'm not here alone, because my frequent guest co-host, Mr. Jeffrey Goodman, is in the studio with me. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Dave.
How you doing?
Okay, well, there's another hour of my life I'll never have again.
What, this hour? It just started. Maybe this will be an hour you'll want again. Maybe this hour you'll be like, I want that hour again.
But I'll still never be able to have it back, but that's okay.
Actually, wouldn't you rather have this hour than the hour you spent, like, driving here or the hour you're going to spend driving back?
This is true.
There you go. So make the most of this 58 and a half minutes.
I'm very excited about 58 minutes left.
Aren't you? Aren't you? Well, you should be. Do you know why? I'll tell you why.
Because I think we have an interesting interview.
We have an interview. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's a woman, an attractive, nice, fun woman named Sarah Sion, and she is a jazz pianist, has been for many years, and she's quite talented, songwriter as well in the jazz idiom.
Okay.
Has traveled the world.
And?
Stories to tell about that. But she's also a wife and mom, and she has the sideline career now of being an author. She has written a book, a simple, fun kind of humor book, about dealing with your mother-in-law. How do you get along with your in-laws? And so, It's kind of this bifurcated thing. She's a musician and kind of a humorist authoress, and she's Jewish. So, I figured...
She's Jewish, and she's an author, and...
There you
she's
go.
A musician?
She's not a doctor or a lawyer, so her parents may not be that happy. But they got to be pretty proud of her.
Did she marry a doctor?
No, but she married a guy she loves very, very much. And it's a nice Jewish boy and all that kind of cool thing.
Well,
so,
they must be very happy.
We'll find out. I won't. Because as soon as someone heard that Sarah Sion is Jewish, well, he just said, Dave. And the fact that she's kind of cute.
And Sarah must have been thrilled to meet the Rabbi
Saul Solomon. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Rebbe is back. He is in the house, and he's going to be talking to Sarah Sion.
He's in the hizzy.
And also her alter ego, Sally Shields.
Oh, my God.
By which she wrote the book.
Alter ego makes alter ego.
Yeah, well, no, the rabbi's pure ego.
He's alter kaka.
He's mostly id. Yeah, that's right. He's ego kaka. And cockamamie. Rabbi Saul Solomon interviewing Sarah Sion very shortly in the neighborhood. Don't miss it. Rabbi Saul is, of course, the spiritual leader of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York, as he's been for lo these many years. But that's not all we're doing on the program. Ask me what else we're doing on the program, Jeff.
Dave, what else are we doing on the program?
We're going inside Broadway.
I love going inside Broadway,
because we're both theater geeks. We love musicals and plays. We love going to the theater. Jeff and I have been theater critics for a couple of decades now. And so, we're going to talk about what's
new. What year did you start, Dave?
1988 was when I started reviewing theater. What about you?
My first review came out in 1980.
Whoa, do you remember what it was?
It was Pirates of Penzance in the Park. I always tell the story. That's why I love Richard Kornberg.
The press agent. Yeah,
because he invited me and treated me like royalty. I met opening night, I met Joe Papp.
Whoa.
I met Jackie Kennedy Onassis.
Good Lord.
I met...
did you meet the cast? Did you meet
Linda
Ronstadt?
Okay. Linda Ronstadt.
Yeah.
There's like a whole receiving line. I met all these people.
How
like,
do you meet this? Did you go to the after party?
It was like, yeah, the opening night. He goes, come back here. It's like, all right.
Nice. And what were you writing for at that point?
I was writing for one little magazine out here on Long Island.
Good for Richard.
He's like the nicest guy. I think he's so misunderstood. He's a great guy.
All right. Well, yeah, he can be abrupt and he can be kind of weird. People either love him or hate him.
But I think if you're just yourself with him and you're not so snooty, he just doesn't. I think he doesn't like the snooty people out there who think there's something that. You know, they think they're beyond their little thing.
Well, see, that's the good thing. You know that you're nothing.
Yeah.
And so
well, I knew that. And God, when he let me come to this party and meet these people, it was like a reception more than a party. And he let me meet all these people. And I was like, wow, hello, thank you. I love you, Richard.
And that solidified. You said, hey, I'm going to be a theater critic after that kind of
thing. I thought I was important then. I said, wow, this is happening every show.
How the fake mighty have fallen.
That's
I
right,
know the
yeah.
feeling. But, so yeah, we've both been critics for a long time. We love talking about Broadway. So we're gonna dish about the big
and
Broadway news this week.
One thing about the Pirates of Penzance also, you know, it was the last performance ever given by...
George Rose?
No. By the guy who wrote The Foreigner.
Larry Shue was in it?
He was in it.
Oh, my God.
And then he was flying... He was killed when he flew back home to do the... He was flying home to do the screen adaptation
right.
of The Foreigner.
Oh, man. And so he was there for, like, opening night, and then he was gone for the rest of the run? Or was that it? Or?
Oh, wait, no. He finished the run, so I guess I didn't see
that. Oh, so no, you didn't see that. Okay. Well, it was a nice story anyway. And you just make Elizabeth Shue very sad remembering that, so anyway.
Who is Elizabeth Shue's...
His daughter.
Oh.
Yeah. So, you know. He has a legacy.
Aww.
Well, our legacy of this program is going to be Inside Broadway. I'm also going to review a couple of shows that I saw this week, including the Broadway musical that both Jeff and I saw this week, new show called Title of Show, that is the title.
As insiders call it, TOS.
It has an insider title now.
It's in square parentheses, TOS.
TOS. And also the off-Broadway revival of The Marriage of Bette and Boo with John Glover and Julie Haggerty in the cast. Julie Haggerty, well, she's kind of immune from criticism anyway because she was a guest on this program, but we love her and she's great. So.
And she was in Airplane. So.
Yeah, she was in Airplane. Come on, she was in Airplane. Gotta love her. And you know who else we love on this program?
We love our sponsors.
Oh, we love them to death. Jeff, help me with the sponsors. Hit me with the sponsors, Jeff.
Oh, well, first we have the Copper Kings of Broadway.
Hewlett Minuteman Press. 1315 Broadway in Hewlett. 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners of any job, big or small, at Hewlett Minuteman Press. Also, Fancy Schmancy Balloons. What is that?
They are a giant balloon company.
Yeah.
That decorate parties, I hear.
With giant balloons.
Well, and small balloons, and even foam core pieces, and lots of glitter.
Foam core. What the hell is foam core?
Well, themed centerpieces for your parties, like big bar mitzvahs and stuff like that. But they do small one, you know, like if you have a 50th anniversary, you want a 50 out of glitter, there they go.
But as you say, even a small party.
You want your name in glitter? Boom, it's all there. You want your house glittered? Boom, we're there.
You can have, like, a big rich kid's bar mitzvah or a little retarded kid's bar mitzvah. You'll do them.
Retarded doesn't mean they're not rich.
Yeah, that's true. What's the number for people to call if they want a fancy schmancy party?
The number would be 516-797-3229.
Again.
That would be 516-797-3229.
And what is this week's discount for Dave's Gone By listeners party stuff?
There'll be 12.5% given. If you order a sign and board and three centerpieces.
12.5% off, but you off the whole bill,
yeah.
But you have to order a sign and board and three centerpieces for your party. Okay, sounds good to me. 12.5 is a little chintzy. It was a lot higher last week, but...
no one called.
Can you do 13%? Come on,
no.
13.
Okay, well, they only asked for 7.5% in a pajama game.
Yeah, that's true. So you're doubling that almost. 12.5% at Fancy Schmancy Balloons. And our other sponsor is Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine.
Survival of Broadway.
For 65 years, this is the industry journal that people in the entertainment business turn to know what is happening on the stages of New York. Broadway, off-Broadway, off-off, cabaret, opera, dance.
If you want to know who Richard Kornberg is, you'll find his number in the magazine.
His number, his address, and his email address, and the addresses of all his staff, and find out what shows he represents. All these things, just in one little area.
You, too, can make a friend with Richard Kornberg.
And all the other... Will you stop with Richard Kornberg?
Of course, well, he'll kill me after this.
That's right. If you want his social security number and his bank ID, turn to page 13 in the latest edition of Performing Arts Insider. For more information about Performing Arts Insider, go to performingartsinsider.com. And remember to go to davesgoneby.org to learn how you, as a listener of this program, can get a $175 value. That's what a one-year, 12-issue subscription is. $175 yours for only $120 a year. PerformingArtsInsider.com with all that information. And just want to tell people, before we continue with this new, brand new, hot, sultry July edition of Heatwave edition of Dave's Gone By, that you can hear a bunch of vintage episodes of the show on the radio station's website, still am1240wgbb.com. All you got to do is go click over from my website, davesgoneby.org, click where it says Got Pod, and there's like 25 episodes there. All the recent ones with guests like Sheldon Harnick and Uncle Floyd, and I think Joe Franklin might be up there. Issa
and Dr. Dirty.
Dr. Dirty from like 2 weeks ago. John Balby and Karen Mason. They're all up there free. Anytime you can listen to them, night or day, davesgoneby.org.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Can we give a shout out to your parents now? Because Mom might not be asleep yet.
Okay, yeah. Mom and Dad, love you in case I forget later.
Mrs. Lefkowitz, hey there. How you doing?
Any quick shout outs for you?
I don't have any relatives.
I've got one shout-out. I want to tell this story really quickly, but, you know, New York, summer, horrible economy, people are mean, they're pissed off, they're you know, in a bad mood, everything's icky-wookie, what the hell does that mean? Anyway, I go last week to an interview with somebody down in the Village, and I'm fine in New York if you stay above, like, 3rd Street.
In the grid.
And the if you've got numbers and letters, I can find my way anywhere because you just follow up and down, left and right, north and south. But once you get below, like, West 4th and into sort of the Lower East Side or Soho, I am so gone. I'm like...
Once you get below Houston Street.
Oh, forget it. Because nothing, everything connects. 6th Avenue's on the west, then it's on the east, then it disappears. 14th Street turns into 10th Street and there's no 12th. It's madness. So I know that I have an interview down in the Village that's relatively easy to get to if you know where you're going.
Where was it?
It was near Houston Street. But I know I have to go to the Houston Street subway, the number one. I get down there and go to the booth guy. And I say, okay, I forget actually what street I was going to.
Right.
It was either Varick or Leonard or something like that.
Yeah.
And I ask him, I know it's around here, could you please tell me just where I can get to this street?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
No. Like, and this guy, he's like middle-aged to almost senior type, kind of pudgy, kind of like, you know, not, you know, kind of grumpy. Look, and he works in the subway booth all day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm looking at him like, okay, what's he going to say?
What, a little air-conditioned apartment under the ground?
Well, he says, okay, what you got to do is blah, 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 this, and really also, you know, go look at the map. So I go, and I forget that in the subway stations, the map is not the same one that they have in the trains, because the train map is this one-page thing with a whole system on it.
Yeah.
Whereas in the subways, they actually have these, like, detailed street maps.
Right, a map of the surrounding area.
You are here. But meanwhile, what I normally want to do is, if I know it's in the general area, you point me in the stairway direction, I'll go out and I'll ask somebody. But because he was nice enough to sort of point me to the map, and he expected me to go there, I went over to the map and just started looking and said, okay, I'm here and there's my... He comes out of his room, his cage booth.
His air-conditioned...
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a terrible heat wave. It was warm that day, but it wasn't horrible. Comes over, makes sure
that I know what I'm doing. You know, he points to the map. He says, and he asked me what the number of the building I was looking for. And he said, oh, well, that's going to be over here by this street, and you're going to turn right there. If I tell you, big props and shout out to the Houston Street subway booth guy. Because
who was working on what day?
Would have been a weekday afternoon.
Well, what week? You have to.
I don't recall. I didn't get his name. Going to be anonymous.
Very
subway
nice.
Guy. But, you know, you get such bad stories.
You could
stories.
Have given subway guy a big.
What?
A raise or something.
Well, that's the kind of. I mean, he doesn't have to. That was the extra mile. Walking out of that booth and coming over to the
that's
map.
That's why
you have
to get
me.
His name and write back
you're
to
right, you're
the
right.
MTA.
Yeah. But, you know, you don't get that a lot. And I
it
wouldn't
was
be
nice.
Like that. If I worked in a subway booth all day long, I wouldn't even look people in the
he
eye.
He was riding the nice train.
Yeah.
That day.
Well, let's all ride the nice train into this episode of Dave's Gone By. We've got Rabbi Saul Solomon and Sarah Sion. God, that's
with a lot of S's.
Yeah.
Best list away.
And the rabbi does have a cute ass, if you know what I'm saying. We'll be back right after this. That's ass. Okay, so your business proposal has been typed, proofread, photoshopped, and given a nice cover. Now, all you need is 20 spiral-bound copies plus 1,000 printings of your latest brochure. Your Xerox can't do it. Your mailroom can't do it. Hewlett Minuteman Press can do it all. Your one-stop printing shop, Minuteman, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett. Open 6 days a week, 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners. Family-owned Minuteman, their service can't be duplicated.
Hi, this is Sarah Jane Sion, and you're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB Freeport.
Thank you. damn it. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so excited to be here in the radio station. Now, normally, when I'm on this program, I talk about things related to Zion, because I am, of course, a Zionist. But tonight, I am a Sionist. Get it? Because I have a Sion who's a pianist. I know this makes absolutely no sense to you at all, but we're going to make sense of it because this giggling little ninny in the studio with me. No, she's adorable. Please welcome Sarah Sally Sion something. What the hell is... I don't even know your name. What's your name?
All right, well, we met at the Publicity Summit.
This is true. We scaled Mount Summit together.
And I was immediately drawn to your wonderful energy and presence, and I said, Rabbi, I must be on your show. Please have me on your show.
And I brought her to the casting couch, and the rest is history. She's still scratching from the fleas and the old soup stains on it. I've got to change my casting couch. It's really horrible. Like, I love it. So it was on sale many, many years ago. So, okay, wait, is it Sarah or Sally or what? Shmuel, what is your name?
All right, well, I started off for 40 years of my life being Sarah Jane Sion, the jazz pianist.
Uh-huh.
And I made my career as a jazz pianist. I moved from Boston in 1991 and I've been doing gigs all around the world ever since. However, last year I wrote a book, and it is called The Daughter-in-Law Rules. 101 surefire ways to manage and make friends with your mother-in-law. Now, because nobody could pronounce my name, and my husband wanted a certain amount of anonymity, I chose a name that I thought would be good for the book, something sort of that everybody could relate to, that everyone, you know, would be sure not to mispronounce. So I chose Sally Shields as my pen name for the daughter-in-law rules book.
Could have chosen Yitzchak, easy enough.
I could have.
Or female Yitzchak. Could have worked. No, but Sally Shields for the book,
yes.
And for the CD and the music, Sarah Jane Sion. You're right, Sally Shields is a little... it's like you're the sister of Brooke and Dress. So I like some of your piano music, though, and some of the jazz stuff. Who are your influences musically, besides, of course, Rabbi Moshe Kutsavitsky?
Okay, well, my first influence and greatest influence was Bill Evans. And then, of course, there...
He's on Eyewitness News. How are you influenced by him? Do you do the... Is that like your theme?
Well, when I was 14 and I had my first jazz piano teacher, he said, my prerequisite is that you have to go out and get the album Kind of Blue by Miles Davis.
This is true.
And when I heard this album, there were two pianists, Bill Evans and Wynton Kelly. And when I heard Bill Evans, I said, I must play like this. And I started transcribing off the albums, and thus began my career.
My favorite album is Kind of Jew by Seymour Shimon and the Polka Dots. It was a marvelous little album. I don't wish I knew where it was. It was recorded. There were only 6 copies made on tinfoil. But when you played, it was good. It was good stuff, let me tell you. So, all right, so it was Miles Davis was there, the main influence there.
Yes.
So what made you think you could write a book?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Rabbi, because I actually didn't. What happened was when I realized I was having problems with my mother-in-law, some of you may remember the book The Rules for Dating. It was called Time-Tested Secrets for Capturing the Heart of Mr. Right. Now, I had actually did these rules on my husband, and they worked like a charm. He still thinks I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread, but don't...
If only he knew.
Yeah, don't tell him. But anyway, they worked so well that I called the ladies who had written this book, and I said, you know, you help all these people marry the man of their dreams. Now where's the rule book for how to deal with their mother?
Well, is his mother really especially difficult, or as my people might say, bitchy?
Yeah.
You can say it. Oh, why was she's so terrible? Because I know she's listening right now.
Oh, my gosh. I love my mother-in-law. But here's the thing. I was making so many mistakes. Everything I did seemed to be a mistake, and there was a criticism here, and she'd come over, and she'd say, your house is a disaster, or I like your hair the other way. And I just thought, you know, there's got to be some magic technique for dealing with mothers-in-law. So what I did was, when the rules ladies told me, that's the greatest idea we've ever heard. You know, we're going to actually check with our editor. And they came back to me and they said, well, our editor's really busy at the moment, but you know what? You should write this book. And I thought to myself, you know, by golly, I will.
So to give a flavor, an example of what you're trying to say, see, I didn't get along with my mother-in-law till very, very late, basically after she died. And then we got along fantastically well because she was much quieter, which is nice. And she didn't really even smell all that different. So it was kind of nice out there. But this gives suggestions on how to deal with difficult mothers-in-laws. Here, send thank you notes to your MIL. It's M-I-L, I guess, without the F on there, which means something completely different there.
No.
No matter what the gift, make sure you send your MIL a handwritten note to express your appreciation, preferably in Hebrew. They would love that in Hebrew. But just in case she says, whatever you do, don't send me thank you cards. We're family. A simple phone call will suffice. Of course, if you ever tried calling a relative, you're on the phone for 45 minutes just to say hello.
That's why one of my rules is, if you're super busy, make sure you aim for getting her machine, like when you know she'll be at bingo.
Oh, this is brilliant. I like this. What are some of the other suggestions? Because I really, I normally read from right to left, and this is very difficult for me. Yeah.
All right. Something that you can do is that you want to call your mother-in-law. As a daughter-in-law, you want to call and establish a relationship with her apart from the one that you have with your husband. Who likes it when their husband's on the phone with his mother, and at the end of the conversation, he'll thrust the phone and say, here, talk to my mother. No one likes this. Okay? So what I suggest to my readers and listeners is that you pick a day, such as Wednesday, and you call your mother-in-law, and you just, you know, just for a short chat and tell her, ask her how she's feeling, but you really want to establish this relationship independently of the one that you have with your husband. And she'll really appreciate that. It's sort of bonding with her on a girlfriend level.
Did you become buddies with your mom-in-law?
I'll put it to you this way. I turned her from my biggest advocate into my number one fan. And now she carries my CD around in her purse. She brags about me to her friends. Whereas before, she was, you know, very critical and all of this.
Oh, even adversary, not advocate. She was she was against you.
Yes, she was a naysayer.
Ooh.
And now she is a fan. Because of my rules. I've done my rules. So I thought that maybe I could help save other young wives years of needless contention.
But the thing is, you're not asking them to go halfway. You're going like 99.7% of the way. It's true. You're building a bridge and meeting in the middle. You know, you're just going, okay, I'm going to build this bridge on the River Kwai and go all the way to her, and whatever she wants, she gets.
Well, put it to you this way. I did what didn't work for about 10 years. And then I decided, well, let me try this. It started off sort of as a tongue-in-cheek coping mechanism. And when I saw that these rules started to actually work and her attitude started to shift towards me, I thought, aha. Now, for example, she'd come over with the whole, you know, your house is a disaster. So one of my rules was, you know, preemptively tell her, oh, Mom, my house is such a disaster. I'm going to sign up for one of those home improvement shows like Designer's Challenge or What's With That House. And, of course, the next thing out of her mouth is, oh, honey, you've got so much to do. Your house looks just fine. And I thought, aha, now I'm no psychiatrist, but I think there's a little bit of reverse psychology involved here. So basically, you know, the basis of these rules, Rabbi, is what I based it on was the seventh spiritual law of success, which is the quickest way to get what you want is to help others get what they want. So when you really stop to listen to your mother-in-law and see what it is that she's concerned about and some of the things that she's thinking about, and you sort of tailor your responses and let her know that you are really sort of thinking about the things that she's concerned about, that will go such a long way. And it only takes a little bit of effort and some training and some patience. And I believe that everybody can turn around their relationship with their mother-in-law.
So essentially, if you can lance a hemorrhoid and relieve constipation, you're very, very far into the changing the whole relationship around. I think that's marvelous. I think that's wonderful. Let's get back to the music for a moment.
All right.
So was that making that music a career for several years? What was that like? Was that really tough? Was it just a natural thing for you or what?
It was just a natural thing for me. I did my first gig when I was 14 years old. And it was funny because I used to joke that only the octogenarians would hire me. I used to play for a group called Hot Fudge, and it was sort of a Dixieland group back in Boston. And then, of course, there was another group, the Artie Barsamian Orchestra, and he was also 80. And it's kind of funny because now that I've had my children and I'm sort of traveling the world less, and I used to play in New York City 3 to 7 nights a week, and now, of course, I don't want to be out late with my kids. So the people that call me are octogenarians. I have two people that are calling me for gigs, and they're wonderful. One is Dr. Lynn Christie, and I play once a month at the Watercolor Cafe in Larchmont. And the second wonderful musician that I play with is, I'm having a senior moment.
It's not that wonderful. I can't remember his name. He might have died in the space between your thoughts here. You know, these guys are not around for so long.
Oh, my
get paid
God.
In advance with these people.
Rabbi, I don't know why my mind is blanking out right now.
I do that to people.
It'll come to me.
So do you listen to other kinds of music besides jazz, or is that really a mainstay of what you listen to and are influenced by?
It is the mainstay of what I listen to and what I'm influenced by. However, there's such a wide range of what people call jazz, which is why I always find it interesting when people come up and they say, I don't like jazz, but I really like your jazz. And I think, you know, they must have in their mind somehow categorized what they think is jazz, because it's almost like saying, I don't like food, because there's so many different types of jazz that, you know, it boggles the mind.
Well, I have to say, I don't like the modern kind of jazz with the horns and the things on the light FM and the crap with the, who's that bald Jewish guy? He's Jewish, so I like him. But
Michael Brecker?
Him too. Well, no, Kenny G with a thing, oh, God. Which is, G is for this long Jewish name, so I can't hate him because he is of the tribe, but I hate him. Oh, God, do I hate him.
Well, that believe it or not, in the jazz world, Kenny G is not considered jazz musician.
Thank you.
No, he's definitely...
He's considered the Antichrist.
Yeah. No. He's more considered, you know, smooth jazz.
Well, it's jazz. There it is. There's the word.
They use that word, smooth jazz, to pull you in and suck you in and make you think that it's jazz, but it really isn't, according to purists.
I don't know about the Michael Brecker stuff and the... Who's the guy with the fuzzy hair and the Brillo and the... Not Jewish. He used to have the Saturday Night Show on NBC. Oh, you know, always with the trumpet with the horn and the thing and the white guy. White guy with a horn.
I was going to say Branford Marsalis.
No, not unless he's having an operation.
Oh, gosh, I can't think of it right now. I'm, you know, since I had my two children, brain cells.
Well, how old are these kids now?
Six and...
And stop banging the table, damn it!
Six and two.
The machines in here are 465 years old. They're almost as old as the Torah in this radio station. You hit anything, and it not only explodes, but the building next door explodes. It's very delicate. So it's 2 and 6-year-old kids. This is marvelous. Are you going to have any more or none or what?
No. When I, you know, the second time I told the doctor, you know, while you're down there, just tie my...
Thank you for sharing.
Listen, I'm 41 years old. I don't need another pregnancy or another baby. I'm perfectly blessed, and I have a boy and a girl, and I'm very, very happy.
Well, Mazel, this is wonderful. One day you might be a mother-in-law, too.
Yes. Yes.
But the problem is, if somebody tries your psychology on you, what are you going to do? You're going to know what they're doing.
Well, that's the beauty of it all. No, but hopefully, hopefully I will be able to, be as wonderful a mother-in-law as my son will marry. You know what I'm trying to say.
No, I have no idea what the hell you're talking about. Much better you should play some music. We're going to listen to some lovely tube-tying music from Sarah Jane Sion, but not before she tells us about her website and where to get her book and her music and all these good things.
Thank you so much, Rabbi. Okay. Well, basically, if you go to sarahjanesion.com, you'll see my website and all of my music. And if you need to spell it, S-A-R-A-H, Jane, J-A-N-E, Sion, C-I-O-N.com. Now, for the book, I've created another website, and that is www, as Rick Frischman likes to say.
I like that. Dub.
The DIL, which stands for daughter-in-law, the DILrules.com. And we've got a contest going on, a ton of free bonus gifts. I've got some free music downloads, a lullaby CD album, a jazz album called Cruisin', which is currently being played on the daytime ABC drama All My Children.
Oh, boy.
We've got a free newsletter that if you sign up for, you'll get a copy of the 44 Top Tips Cheat Sheet, and you can get started making friends with your mother-in-law right away.
When do you sleep? When do you have time to do all this?
In the 1 hour of free time I have after my kids go to bed, I rush to my computer and type.
Good for you. Good. I don't have time to pee. Oh, boy. All right, we're going to get to the music really quickly now. Oh, I'm so sorry about that, but I am not sorry in the least that we have had the lovely and delightful and talented Sarah Jane Sally Siong Simkovitz here in the neighborhood. Thank you. God, blessings to you. Blessings on your children, your family, and all your projects.
Thank you, Rabbi. I'm so honored to be here, and I haven't laughed this hard in weeks, and I'm just absolutely thrilled.
Do not adjust your set. There's a rabbi on it. Be every Wednesday and Friday morning at 7:30 on Cablevision Channel 115. I'm Rabbi Sal Solomon, spiritual leader of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. And my TV show tells you everything you ever wanted to know about Judaism, but were too staggeringly ignorant to ask. Shalom, damn it, 7:30 Wednesday and Friday mornings on Channel 115 or Channel 67 in Manhattan on Sunday afternoons at 1:30. Or anytime at all at YouTube.com. Shalom, damn it. Your prostate will thank you.
Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. Inside Broadway we go, thanks to Performing Arts Insider for making this happen every week when we want to tell you about what's happening on, off, and off Broadway. Well, a couple of items in the news this week, even though it's the middle of summer and there's not a whole heck of a lot going on, there's enough to keep things kind of percolating and interesting. First of all, we can get through some of the bad news, the sad news. A couple of shows closed on Broadway today, including
Passing Strange.
Passing Strange, which passed and was nearly like the big musical of the season, almost won all those Tonys.
How strange.
Yeah. Good. I mean, it'll have an afterlife. I mean, Spike Lee's going to make a movie of it, and
It's going to be film live performance.
Right. So they may either release it to regular theaters or go straight to cable TV. But I'll definitely be happy to see that again. Plus, the CD will come out, and I know we're going to hear some more great music from Stu, the guy who made Passing Strange. Also, the Country Girl closed today. That revival that didn't really do much for anybody. With Morgan Freeman and Frances McDormand, directed by Mike Nichols. Didn't really quite take off, but some people liked it. That closed today, and I think either this week or next Sunday is the closing date of A Catered Affair.
But it was today.
Might be today, with Harvey Fierstein,
I think it was the 20th.
Faith Prince, and Tom Wopat. Jeff hated the show. I kind of liked it. I thought it was sweet.
I didn't hate it. I very much disliked it.
No, it's close. Close. There's a thin line between hate and dislike, I guess. Anyway, let's get to some happier news of things that are going to be happening on Broadway this coming season. It's Stuart, not so little. Okay, kind of a Stuart little pun there. Mary Stuart, a London production from 2005 by the Dagmar Warehouse, is coming to Broadway in the spring with Janet McTeer. We might remember her from her doing A Doll's House on Broadway. She's going to be playing Mary, Queen of Scots, and Harriet Walter will be repeating her role as Elizabeth I. And the woman, since everything is Mamma Mia this week, Phyllida Lloyd, who staged Mamma Mia over there and over here, and she just directed the movie, she's going to be directing this Mary Stuart in the spring.
You don't think people are going to want to see that?
Oh, hell yeah. Well, it's a good play, and I've seen them do it all for, it takes 4.5 hours to tell, but it's a good story.
But it's powerful women.
Yeah, well, that's good theater, man, and all the theater queers are going to go out for that, because, oh, diva, you know, that kind of thing. What? Yes, sir, if they came out for Angela Lansbury and What's Her Name,
I don't think we'd call them theater queers, though.
Well, whatever you want to call them. The other word I'd rather not use. So, speaking of which... No, actually, that's not speaking of which of anything. You've heard about Jackie Hoffman is going to be out of Xanadu for a few weeks.
Yes.
Because she's got some other stuff to do, some camera
and being
thing.
Replaced by Whoopi.
Whoopi Goldberg coming back on Broadway just for a little while. She's going to be in Xanadu from late July until the first week in September.
And it's probably only because Jackie Hoffman's one of the only characters who doesn't roller skate.
Oh, good. Good point. Good point. Yeah, because... You know, she couldn't.
We don't want to see Whoopi
Butler
on wheels.
Oh, good Lord, no. Well, maybe on four. And they have, you know, two on her feet and two on her hands, and they just push her back and forth.
Well, they have four on each foot.
Well, that's true. Well, anyway, it's a small role. That's why I'm a little surprised that she's taking it. But then again, she's got to deal
with
the view.
But it's a funny role.
Yeah.
So, evil woman.
Whoopi-doo. I call it Whoopi-doo, because Whoopi's going to be in Xanadu. Now... Here's the information, by the way, on Billy Elliot. That's the big musical that everybody's trumped up about.
Go to the Imperial, get your tickets now.
Yeah. Billy Elliot, the Elton John musical, I should say,
All set for the Imperial opens there November 13th, including the cast Carol Shelley, you know, from Wicked and a bunch of things, Gregory Jabara, who was in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, and Olivier-nominated Hayden Gwynn. He's one of the British people that they're going to bring over from this tale of little Billy who tries to find his sexuality and soccer.
No, he tries to be a tap dancer.
Oh, I'm sorry, tap dancer. I'm confusing it with, I don't know what I'm confusing it with, but kid, sexuality, tapping.
Will you put your homophobia away for a second?
I can't. Okay, it's gone. Hayes Days. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Helen Hayes Theater is going to have a new owner come 2010.
Really? Martin is selling it?
Is it just one person who owns it now? Or
it's
is it,
two. It's Martin, yeah. Martinson and someone else.
Well, it's going to be bought by the Second Stage Theater. They're
really?
Finally going to have a Broadway home. So
wow.
The Hayes Theater, current home of
Saturday. But that means that all those small little plays that want to make it to Broadway are going to have a hard time. Because we're all going to have to fight over the Golden now.
Yeah, well, that's true. Except Second Stage will probably put on some small little plays. That's kind of what they're for.
Yeah, I know.
And anything that is a hit at Second Stage during the regular season, they'll now have a place to move, which will be kind of nice. So it's going to be a couple of years before this happens. But at least now,
I was kind of hoping if they did that, they'd buy something like the Circle and Square to utilize something like that.
Because nobody wants to use the Circle. It's a tough house, but you know, Hayes is a nice little house, so they got it. Good
well, that's,
for them.
Well, that's the thing.
And they want to follow in the footsteps, because Lincoln Center was able to grow that way, the Roundabout and Manhattan Theater Club.
So oh, yeah.
They'll be playing with the big boys. That's kind of nice. Let's see. Midtown Theater Festival opened this past week. Lots of stuff happening there. It's going to run through August 10th. Bunches and bunches of stuff.
But you know what the most important show there is?
What would that be?
I think someone wrote a show called How I Found an Apartment on the Upper West Side Without Really Trying.
Something. It's longer than that, but that's the gist of it. A fellow named Charles Gross, a good friend of ours, who's been on this program and who co-hosts with Jeff a Manhattan cable television program called Two on the Isle bi-weekly.
Are we still doing that?
Well, you're in summer hiatus, but you'll be back in the fall, as you've been for 17 years with Charlie Gross. Charlie's doing a one-man show about certain aspects of his life, living in New York, meeting girls, getting his first apartment, his favorite car.
The only problem with that show?
What?
I'm not in it.
You know? Yeah,
I kind of miss it.
Yeah, kind of. But it should be nice. And he's doing four performances. It's because it's part of this Fringe Festival. So it's Thursday, July 24th at 8:30. Sunday, July 27th at 2:30 in the afternoon. Thursday, July 31st at 6:15 p.m. That's the one I'll probably go to. And Sunday, August 3rd at 7. So don't miss How I Found an Affordable Apartment on the Upper West Side of Manhattan Without Really Trying.
And if we want to go with you, what day are we seeing it?
I'm doing it that Thursday because it's...
I think all Dave's Gone By listeners should see it on Thursday.
Yeah, go there, find out more. I didn't put down the website, but it's the Midtown International Theater Festival, not to be confused with the New York International Fringe Festival, and that starts in early August with a... If Midtown Festival's pretty big, that's got like 40 or 50 shows.
Yes.
The New York Festival's got like 200 shows scattered all over New York.
Yes.
And so bunches of them, just, you know, go to the Fringe Festival website for that to find out about them. But there is one.
So How I Found an Apartment on the Upper East Side Without Even Really Trying. And we're all going to go on July
31st.
Well,
that's the Midtown one, not the international one. The international one, I do want to point out one particular show by a fellow named Dave J. Dave is the guy who wrote that little jingle we've been using recently for the show. Dave's gone by, here goes the neighborhood. He's a very talented fella, and he's been actually on The View because he won some musical contest to be on there. And nice guy. So he's doing a solo show about the Beatles experience, and it's called John Paul George Ringo. I'm going to play the ad for you right now.
George.
Ringo. Peace and love.
Improvised, impromptu, and interactive.
Yeah. Dave J seamlessly morphs between four distinct impersonations of the Fab Four.
A British invasion of truth, tunes, and trivia, really.
Created on the spot by Dave J and you. Peace and love.
Saturday, August 9th through Tuesday, August 12th, and Thursday, August 14th at the Jazz Gallery, New York City. Official selection of the 2008 New York International Fringe Festival. Visit DaveJay.com. That's DaveJay.com.
Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, the Bible of Broadway for more than six decades, telling you everything you need to know about Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret, opera, and dance. It's all there in the pages of Performing Arts Insider. And you, as Dave's Gone By listeners, can get 10% off annual subscriptions. Just go to PerformingArtsInsider.com to find out more about the business.
And don't bother me with
No, don't bother me with Molière, at least not tonight, because we've got another comic playwright to work with, a much, much darker one than Molière ever was, but a very talented one, Christopher Durang. And we're going to review a show of his that is being revived called The Marriage of Bet and Boo, which, well, Jeff, did you see the original of this, or have you ever read
No,
it?
I didn't.
But you're a Durang fan.
I like Durang.
Yeah, me too. But this one tested me a little bit.
Really?
I have to say, I was really excited to see it. And so I get there. And what it is, it's 33 scenes, short scenes, most of them, centering mostly about this marriage that goes pretty dysfunctional. But it's really kind of an off-the-beam play. It's about all these dysfunctional, really messed-up, strange people told in a strange and abstract kind of a way.
Welcome to Durang World.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Well, he's all about messed up people.
That's fine. And let me tell you, when he gets to it and when he starts to get into the characters and show where the dysfunction is and how they behave, it actually becomes more of an interesting play. But if I tell you the first half hour, I would have, everyone around me, mostly critics, were like looking at each other. It's like, we were so looking forward to this and it sucks. It takes so long for you to actually even remotely get into it. Had the last two scenes before intermission not been pretty interesting, I would have bailed, as would, I think, a lot of other people around me. But they started to, something started to gel there. The only problem with the play is it had shock value all those years ago, as well as comic value. Now, shock value is still kind of there, because, like, one of the things that happens to the woman in the show, she's this sweet, you know, kind of uptighty, perfect wife, and she marries a man who's learned just a little too much from his drunken and irritating father, and they have a wonderful little son, but they don't pay much attention to him because she keeps trying to have more babies, and they all die coming out of her. And one of the running gags of the show, and it is a sick, funny running gag, is the doctor comes out and keeps dropping baby bundles on the floor. It's like, this one's dead. And there's actually a sound effect of the baby hitting the floor. It's funny, sick, but not that funny 20 years later. And a lot of the other stuff isn't that funny either. So you're watching things that are supposed to be, oh, outrageously zany and funny and dark. And it only works about 30 to 40% of the time. And that's just not enough, you know? And if you want to get to the good stuff, which is how this marriage is disintegrating between this woman and this man, it does get good, but then again, that's something you can get in Edward Albee and on TV a zillion different places. The cast, though, at times, makes it almost worth it. As I mentioned,
who's in the cast?
Julie Haggerty, and she plays like the mother who's constantly been told that she's an idiot by her drunken and obnoxious husband, who's played by John Glover. And John Glover is just a fabulous actor. He's so contemptible here, but he's just a marvelous performer. And we all love Haggerty, and as I mentioned, she's been on this program, so she's lovely there, and she's
lovely in the neighborhood.
Yeah, she is, and she's right for the role. She's the sweetest thing on stage. I'll say that.
Okay.
But I can't recommend The Marriage of Betty and.
Oh.
Now I can mildly recommend this next show, which is a musical that played off-Broadway just a couple of years ago and was a very, very unlikely candidate for anything else to happen to it. It was a Fringe Festival show. A couple of producers picked it up, moved it to off-Broadway where they had a nice little run, nothing major, and it went away. And then suddenly, here it is, this little show with four characters and a pianist, is on Broadway. It's called Title of Show, and it begins with this song.
What if this dialogue were set to music? What if what we're saying could be said in a song? Hey, that's not a bad idea. Perhaps you could use it. Music in a musical, how can we go wrong? We could ask significant questions. We could get important points across, like are we writing for art? And is art the springboard for fame? And will fame get folks to trust us? But will they trust us if it's just us, me and you? To nobody's in New York. Hey, I think it's working. We're discovering choices. Lots of things to think about when writing a show. Yeah, creating a vehicle to showcase our voices. And I don't mean our vocal cords. I mean what's below.
Uh-huh.
We could ask significant questions. We could get important points across. Like, are we writing for art? Is art the springboard for fame? And will fame get us a paycheck? But will a paycheck mean that we're sellouts? And if we sell out, will they yell out me and you? To Nobody's in New York.
To Nobody's in New York, a.k.a. the writers of Title of Show, way back when, just for the hell of it, they submitted a script to the Fringe Festival. They said, let's do it. And they decided to craft a musical about their trying to craft
it. And it's really a great musical. The only problem I see is, even moving it to Broadway is a good idea, but I think a lot of people are going to go in to a Broadway house and expect a full Broadway production.
Right.
And you get a production with six people and a piano.
Four people and a piano, that's it. And no, I mean, there's a set, but it's not a very inviting one. And
right.
There's stinky little apartment where they're living while they're tapping away with their day jobs and trying to create a musical about writing a musical.
Right.
It was very charming off-Broadway.
It's clever, but I think people are going to feel cheated.
Have you seen it on Broadway?
No, I haven't.
Oh, I thought you went back to see it.
No.
You saw it way back when it played.
Yeah.
What they've done here is they've kept what they had, and then, of course, they had to add on, because now the story adds on. It wasn't just in the Fringe. It moved to Broadway.
Right.
Now they have to include the fact that it moved to Broadway. So it's also ballooned in size from an 85-minute musical to a 105-minute musical. And without intermission... And
oh, there's no intermission.
No. It's
bad
a
choice.
Little much.
Anything over 90 minutes should have an intermission.
I agree. And with a one-person show especially, or, you know, with a musical like this, especially where it's kind of relentless and there isn't much coloration in the orchestration, because it's an electric piano, that's it. And it is clever, and it is smart, and I had this sort of opposite reaction of the thing with Betty and Boo, where with Betty and Boo, I hated the first half hour and kind of got into it after that.
Mm-hmm.
Here, I big smile on my face the first half hour, laughing at all the jokes, loving the people, loving the idea of it, loving the rhymes. And then it didn't go anywhere else enough.
And I'm sure you felt a little trapped in the theater. Because don't give you an intermission.
Oh, well, I wouldn't have left. I mean, I would have
left. Right, I know, but I think you need a break after a while just to exhale and digest what you've seen.
But I think also what you really need is just a bit more, I hate to be sort of, because it's not trying to be an old-fashioned musical, but it requires more character development.
Yeah.
We find out a little about their jobs and what they do, but like we hear one woman is engaged, nothing more about that. We've got one woman who hates her day job and kind of quits, so that has some arc to it. But after an hour and 40 minutes, it really is just about, okay, we're going to write, a producer wants it, and we're going to do this. It's not quite enough for Broadway, and it loses the momentum.
I think you and I discussed this privately, that I really think they moved it to Broadway just so they can say they ran on Broadway. It'll that way they can get a tour out of it, and then you'll get a million little local theater companies doing it.
Yeah, and they could, and they should.
Get
to put this back in a small room, then it's going to work again. If they cut it. They got to cut it, though.
Oh, yeah.
But I've got to say this. I was there on a Saturday matinee, and the audience was loving it. They were eating it. I don't know where they shipped them in from, if they were all I'm going to use it. It's not a homophobic word. They were all show queens or what. But it was just like they were going nuts through the whole thing in a way that was even beyond like a normal audience reaction.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of times a lot of that is paper.
Oh, you think? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that stage, maybe. But it was also a big critics' afternoon. So,
and then there'll be a lot of paper there, too.
I mean, on some level, again, I wanted to root for the show.
I love the show.
The
I love the show.
It. But it's also weird when the audience likes something that much more than you, and you're wondering, is it me, or are they forcing themselves a little bit?
Well, I think there are a lot of people who are fans of the show, and they come back over and over and over again.
Oh, well, it's just open, so they couldn't have come back.
Yeah, but you know, they came to the off-Broadway, then they the off-Broadway, then, you know.
Well, I wish them well, and I think it's a neat thing, and cute and clever. Just wish there was something more.
I'm very happy with the two cute, clever things that opened. I think the title show and also 39 Steps. Very small shows.
And we'll see if they can make it.
Passing Strange is totally different. But these are both in considered bad theaters because they're on the west side, the east side of Broadway, not the west side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I'm sure that's why they're in those theaters because it's a small nut to crack.
Right.
But let's see what happens.
All right. Title of show. Pretty good. Well, you haven't seen the Broadway version, but pretty good recommendation from you.
Oh, yeah,
recommendation
like
from me. Do check it out and check out.
But
the
don't
rest.
Expect too much.
Okay.
No, but you can't go and
pay $80 for a ticket. Don't expect too much. Yeah.
Wait, see, that's what I personally would not spend $80 for a ticket. That I think $30-$40 is all I'd spend for that ticket.
Right. Me too. Well, if I don't even have $30 or $40,
so buy it half price.
I listen to my stuff. I like free stuff. Like this program, free for everyone to listen to from beginning to end. And yes, unfortunately, we have to bring this episode of Dave's Gone By to an end, which we'll do as we finish Inside Broadway. We've just been Inside Broadway, thanks to TogleTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. Honey, make sweet love to me.
Huh?
Can't you put down that stupid book?
In a minute, dear.
You said that 20 minutes ago. What's so special about marriage, babies, and the end of the world?
Well, it's a collection of plays by radio host Dave Lefkowitz.
Why do you want to read a bunch of plays?
Because they're hilarious.
How'd you even buy that book?
Online at davesgoneby.org. $20. And they've got trade paperbacks for $12.
You would rather read Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World than ride me like a hot stallion?
Well, maybe we can compromise.
Wow, I love this book!
Oh, and you too, hon.
30 seconds is a long time. You can say a lot in half a minute about your business, your product to sell, your message. Say it on Dave's Gone By. Easy, inexpensive, effective. For details and the rate card, davesgoneby.org or email davesgoneby@aol.com. Imagine how much you can say to my listeners by advertising on Dave's Gone By. Just like this, 28, 29, 30. Everything is iPod this and download that. Whatever happened to good old-fashioned CDs? Well, at Dave's Gone By, we're still making them. Nearly every episode we've ever done is preserved digitally on compact disc and for sale at davesgoneby.org. And at a new low price, $10 per show, shipping and handling included. Add $1 per disc for a personalized autograph and check davesgoneby.org for multiple discounts. P2P, MP3, CD, me.
My daughter's first words. I'll do it again.
Please do that again.
Ball, bath, cheese, juice, shoes, Elmo, no, hi, bye, mommy, daddy, kitty, baby, fish, bananas, bubbles, blocks, alligator, giraffe, elephant, and octopus.
Okay. Sounds like a Captain Beefheart poem right there. All right.
Hi, this is Sally Shields, author of The Daughter-in-Law Rules, 101 Surefire Ways to Manage and Make Friends with Your Mother-in-Law. You're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB Freeport.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you so much for being such a delightful guest, and thanks also to Rabbi Saul Solomon of Temple Sons of Bitches for interviewing her. And get Sarah's CD. It's called Indeed, and some really nice jazz music. We're going to go out with some more of Sarah's music, but not before we tie up all our loose ends here. Jeff, yes?
You know what my niece's first words were?
What were your niece's first words?
Jeff's gone, Dave's gone, bye.
Was it real? Oh, that's so sweet. And she's not, you know, all there. So that's kind of neat. You know who is all there, Jeff? For us every week on this radio program.
Our sponsors?
You betcha. Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway.
Next to the defunct Loman Shoes.
That's right. And across the street from the undefunct regular Loman Shoes. 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners at Hewlett Minuteman
Press. Aren't they generous?
Performing Arts Insider, even more generous, the Bible of Broadway, because you can get a full year subscription, 12 big whopping issues for just $120.
Wow, big whopping
bucks.
Issues.
They're whopping. I can make, no, it's gospel time, I can't make a racial joke. So it's $120.
Racial jokes?
Well, not them race, but a different one.
Okay.
Figure it out when you're less tired.
Whoppers.
Anyway, performingartsinsider.com, the place to go to find out about this wonderful, important theater guide. And by the way, davesgoneby.org is the place to go to find out about your discount subscription, being a Dave's Gone By listener. And that's also the place to find out about this program, our history, see some photos, and to write to me at davesgoneby@AOL.com. But before I forget, we do have one other sponsor.
I was wondering if we would remember Fancy Schmancy Buffaloons, and their 12.5% discount this week.
On everything, like, whatever, but what you have
as
to
As long
get,
as
Jeff,
your party includes a sign and board
mm-hmm.
and 3 centerpieces.
Right, and that's what Jeff does best. And by the way, if you're having a party, Jeff, this is what he specializes in, but he can also hook you up with a DJ, with the flowers, with the catering.
I can hook you up with a complete party.
What's the number again?
516-797-3229.
516-797-3229 for Fancy Schmancy Balloons. Want to remind everybody that Shalom, damn it, Rabbi Saul Solomon's Peace, Love, and Acid Reflux Hour airs Wednesdays and Friday mornings, Channel 115 on Woodbury Cablevision of Long Island. You can also catch it, as I did, every Sunday at 1:30 in the afternoon on Channel 67 if you live in Manhattan, or if you go to the Manhattan Neighborhood Network website, which is mnn.org, or you can see episodes anytime at youtube.com. Just look for Rabbi Saul.
They're very catchy, those episodes.
Aren't they? Yeah, you can catch them again and again and again and again.
It's infectious.
I think so. Now, remember, you can hear 25 old shows of Dave's Gone By at davesgoneby.org. Just look for the Got Pod logo over there. And let's see.
And say thank you to your mother and father and your wife.
Well, we did mom and dad earlier. You made me do that. But to my wonderful wife, she may rewrite that I am getting the Mega Costco supply of Viagra. She was just goofing on that. I'm not sure why. And she wrote, and this goes for you too, Jeff.
She's pregnant.
No, she's not. That's why. Maybe that's why I need to get the Viagra. But anywho, little inside joke between me and her. But except she's fast asleep now and not even hearing it. So
ha ha ha, it's a joke on all you people listening.
Coming up, speaking of humor and fun and joy, we've got other guests coming up on Dave's
Gone
By.
Do we have guests aplenty?
Including Tom Soames, who is an expert on pet health and keeping your dogs and cats well and healthy and shiny and friendly and boinkable. He's going to be talking to one of my dogs, which will be kind of interesting. And then Julius Novick, who has been a theater critic for years. He's written for The Times and The Post and the Village Voice, actually, is what he really wrote for most years. And now he's got a
new
book.
And he wrote
book.
For The Daily Rocks, too, didn't he?
That's the Quadricite, Anthracite, Dinosaur Gazette. He goes back that far. Yeah, no, but Jay's a really, really smart and interesting speaker. And he's written a book about the Jewish playwright in the 20th century, people like Arthur Miller and Tony Kushner and Clifford Odets, what they contributed and what they said about America and what America can find in their works. Sounds dry, which is why I'm letting Rabbi Saul Solomon interview him.
Does he talk about Charles Gross in that, too?
That's 21st century.
No, it was 12 Gross wrote in the 20th, unfortunately.
Oh, digging, okay, well, anyway. It is time to leave the neighborhood, sob, sob. I was going to... By the way, I also want to give, I don't know what how you would call it, a death shout-out to Joe Stafford. I was going to play one of her songs to go out, but my computer isn't working here
I'm
at the moment.
I'm so glad we had this time together.
Well, more like we'll meet. It was more World War II-ish.
Just to have a laugh or sing a song.
So... I'm afraid...
Seems we just get started, and before you know it, there goes my mic.
Well, actually, here, I'll lower you down, but keep singing, and I'll talk over you.
There's a time we have to
We'll be
play.
Back next Sunday, so July 27th, 2008, with the 284th episode. Oh, I thought you were going to sing with the
284th. Well, that was the end of the song.
So much for that. 284th episode.
284?
Coming at you next
week.
Was this
283 already?
Yeah, it was. So until next week, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz.
And Jeff Goodman.
Wishing you good night. Sayonara.
Ah, and gone by.